Psalm 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Now that is the basis, that we love God. It's not just, oh, well, what's the minimum I can do to get into the kingdom? If you love God, you don't look at it like that. You want to do what he wants you to do, and you want to please him. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strong rock, in him I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. You remember how Saul offered his armor to David, and he had a look at it, and he said, no, I don't want that. He's effectively saying, God is my shield. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Well, these aren't just nice words. He showed this in his attitude to Goliath. The cords of death held me down. The floods of ungodly men frightened me. So you can have this faith in God and yet still be fearful, because that's just absolutely normal human response, just as Jesus was fearful in Gethsemane before he went to the cross. The cords of hell or the grave tied me down. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Well, there was no temple in the time of David, but he believed that God was in heaven, and that his little words came right into the ears of God. Now, this is the wonderful thing about prayer, that words of little me here on this planet enter into his ears, right in heaven itself. Then the earth shook and trembled. So there was an earthquake because David prayed. That's what you see in Revelation. The incense of prayer rises up, and then angels pour out bowls of judgment upon the earth. The foundations of the hills were moved and were shaken because he was angry. There went up a smoke out of his nose, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yes, he flew swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his pavilion round about him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones, coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them. Yes, he shot out lightnings. Then the channels of waters were revealed, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. Well, all this talk about God acting so dramatically, this is all because he says God heard my words and they came into his ears. This is the power of response from God to human prayer. So you can be standing at a tram stop praying to God. You can be sitting in your car. You can be driving. You can be walking down the street. You can be at school. And you pray to God, and this is the kind of response that he's capable of. The Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He dealt with me. And you think, David, you weren't perfect. You did a lot of wrong things. You just wonder whether he's a bit self-righteous and is forgetting his sinfulness. He says, I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his laws from before me. I was upright before him, and I kept myself back from my sin. Well, David, he seems to be saying that because I was so pure, God saved me. Well, it was really by God's grace. So although this is all the inspired word of God, this doesn't mean that David's attitudes were always right. Therefore has the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes. And again, we think, no, David, grace. It was not because he was righteous. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the upright man, you will show yourself upright. With the pure, you'll show yourself pure. And with the wicked, you will show yourself aggressive. But you will save the afflicted people, but the proud eyes you will bring down. So you see how God looks at people's attitude. He looks at their body language, where their eyes are, how they look in their face, and he really hates pride. You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. For by you I have run upon a troop of soldiers. By my God I've leapt over a wall. Maybe that happened one time when he was fighting the Philistines, that he just jumped over a huge wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. For who is God save Yahweh, and who is a rock beside our God? In other words, he's saying all the idols that people believe in as their gods are nothing compared to God. The God who surrounds me with strength and makes my way direct. He makes my feet like the feet of a hind and sets me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that my arms can bend a bow of brass. I wondered if he's referring there to the victory over Goliath, because he won by slinging a stone very accurately. And that means that he did that through his hands, through his fingers, being very, very cleverly practiced in doing that. And yet he says, God taught me to do that. So when he was just the young brother in the big family who was out there looking after the animals all the time and protecting them against wild animals, well, God taught him through those years, even when he was really young. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has held me up. And I love this next bit. And your gentleness has made me great. So God is very gentle, and this is how we should be. You've enlarged my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I will chase after my enemies and overtake them. Neither will I turn again until they're consumed. I'll smite them through so that they can't rise up again. They will fall under my feet. Well, that's what happened with Goliath. For you have girded me with strength unto the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, that I might cut off those who hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto Yahweh, but he did not answer them. So these people he's actually talking about now are people who claim to believe in Yahweh, and yet they were his enemies. And I assume he's talking about the supporters of Saul or later Absalom. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I threw them out as the mud of the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people whom I have not known will serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they will obey me. The strangers, maybe he means the Gentiles, will submit themselves to me. The strangers will fade away and shall come trembling out of their holes. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, even the God that executes vengeance for me and subdues peoples under me. He rescues me from my enemies. Yes, you lifted me up above those who rise up against me. You delivered me from the violent man. Well, those who rose up against him were really his own children, unfortunately. And yet that was all the punishment for his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And yet God still saved him from that. So you see what happens. God can bring a crisis into your life, like God did. He said, because you did this, you will have all this trouble from within your own family. And yet God saved him out of it. You see how complex are God's workings with us. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed, for evermore. Well, it is wonderful faith in David, and yet you do get the impression that it's all about me, 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 and killing my enemies. I mean, the attitude of Jesus to enemies is somewhat different. to forgive them, to not fight them, to not resist evil. And yet David doesn't quite get that. And yet God still works through him and with him. But I think that there is a higher level than what David is living on at this point. And as I said earlier, I don't think that he adequately accepts his own sinfulness. He seems to be very sure that he is right and the wicked people are attacking him. And as I've said before, and I'll repeat it, the division is not between the righteous and the sinners, the good and the bad, the cowboys and the Indians. This is too simple. The division is between sinners who repent and sinners who don't repent. That's the difference. That's the line that divides. Those who finally will be in God's kingdom and those who won't. And we've got to always remember that and not get caught up with the fact that the others are sinful, to think that therefore I am so pure and righteous. And I think we're intended to learn here from David's mistakes, because when we read things like, "You delivered me because of my pureness and my uprightness and my pure hands," well, no, David, we immediately react to that, don't we, and think, well, that wasn't the case, was it? Because what God wants more than anything else is humility, to recognize that I'm not perfect and that I have failed deeply. And then on that basis, as he rightly says, "Your gentleness has made me great."